أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أوهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. We are already into the blessed month of Sha'ban, getting ready inshallah for the peak of spiritual season, which is the month of Ramadan. And I would like to go to just one part of the dua which has come to us from Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam. Keeping in mind that this is also the month of his viladat, there is a dua which is not part of Sayfi Sajjadiyya. It is there in Mafatihul Jinan, which is known as Salawat Sha'baniyya. This is different from Munajat Sha'baniyya. And the Salawat Sha'baniyya, which I talked about it also on Sunday in the gathering briefly, that two-thirds of it is praise of the Ahlul Bayt with the Salawat in between. And at the end, there are three items of dua. The second one is very interesting, and I consider that to be a very profound thought, and I thought maybe it's time we remind ourselves of it, because we have talked about it before, where the Imam is asking us to pray and say, وَرْزُقْنِي مُوَاسَاتَ مَنْ قَطَّرْتَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ رِزْقِكْ بِمَا وَسَّعْتَ عَلَيَّ مِنْ فَضْلِكْ. And as I've said many times, you know, whenever I read this sentence from the dua of our fourth Imam, it's very profound. You don't see it anywhere else or in any literature of dua or, you know, prayers. And what are you asking there? You basically are saying that, oh Allah, bless me with the opportunity to help the one whose sustenance you have straightened. Oh Allah, give me the opportunity to help a person whose risk and sustenance you have restrained or made it restricted. Give me that opportunity, bima wasa'ta alayya min fadlik, by increasing your grace upon me. You know, sometimes it seems like, you know, why should we be even saying to Allah that you decided to restrain or limit the sustenance of someone, and asking you, give me more so that I can help that person. You know, and this is something very, very profound, and this is where we have to realize that this whole process of rizq and sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He blesses some with more, it's an element of test and trial. When He deprives some people, that is also an element of test and trial. Those whose sustenance has been reduced by His will, He wants to see, you know, how that person reacts in that situation with the challenges, you know, difficulties. Is that person still maintaining the shari'i limits of what is halal and what is haram? Or he only loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah gives? No, that love has to be there for all the times. And on the other hand, when he blesses others with more than what they want, or what the more than what they need, you know, this is where we have to realize that's also an element of test and trial, that he wants to see that are you fulfilling your duties as far as your financial obligations are concerned. For example, in Surah 51, ayat 19, the statement is very clear. And this is one of the ayat which was revealed in Mecca. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ That in the wealth of the people, there is a share, haqq, there is a right for those who are the beggar and the deprived. And so, you know, this is something which has come from the very early days. And this is where we have to realize that we are not only asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, we are actually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us more so that we can share with those who are less fortunate. Let me use, a different term here. The Wahhabis wouldn't like it. Basically, I am praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah make me the wasila between you and the poor. When you are saying, oh Allah, give me more so that I can help those who don't have enough, what am I doing? I didn't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give directly to that person. I'm saying, give me more so that I can share that with the one who is deprived. And so this concept of intermediary and wasila, you know, this is a universal concept. Of course, when we talk about Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, salawatullah ajma'een, they are wasila on a universal level, a different level. But we have to realize that even when he gives or deprives, that there also is this process of wasila in our world. And so, you know, especially when we look at the month of Ramadan, Sha'ban is also, of course, significant in that way. But when it comes to charity, this has been emphasized quite a lot during the month of Ramadan. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. In a statement, he says, إِذَا نَاوَلْتُمُ السَّائِلِ فَلْيَرُدُّ الَّذِي يُنَاوِلُهُ يَدُهُ إِلَىٰ فِيهِ لِيَتَقَبَّلَهَا. You know, this whole process where we are saying that when we give it to somebody, when we give charities to somebody who is in need, based on the ayat of Quran from Surah Tawbah that Amir al-Mu'mineen recites at the end of this statement, he says that, you know, the hand that you are using to give to the poor, you know, kiss that, because before that charity reaches to the poor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it. As if Allah is touching you, your hand, before it reaches to the poor. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَضَّ وَجَلِّ you know, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَأْخُذُهَا قَبْلَ عَنْ تَقَعَ فِي يَدِ السَّائِلِ. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the charity before it reaches to the hands of the poor and the beggar. Why? فَإِنَّهُ عَضَّ وَجَلُّ يَأْخُذُ الصَّدَقَاتِ. And he recites this one, you know, a part of this ayat from Surah Tawbah, ayat number 104. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, do not you know that Allah accepts the tawbah from his servants, and وَيَأْخُذُ الصَّدَقَاتِ. He is the one who takes the charity. And so this is where, you know, you look at this process, and inshallah, you know, we will be able to follow this example from this dua of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam. Salawat. This whole thought of sharing, even asking Allah for more so that we can share with those who are deprived, goes totally against the ideal capitalist mentality, where they say, you know, the poor and the beggar are so because of their own doing. You know, this is where we are reminded always with ayat number 47 from Surah Yasin, which we recite every Thursday night, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَضَقُكُمُ اللَّهِ. When it is said to this people that give in charity from what Allah has given to you, قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who are non-believers, they respond to the believers by saying, أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَ. They said, you know, should we feed somebody that if Allah wants, he should do it himself? Or he would do it himself? Why should we be, you know, in between? And so that is completely, against the teaching that we see in the Quran and the example of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wa salam. May Allah give us the tawfiq to fulfilling our duty towards the Sa'il and Mahroom during these holy months, especially in the coming month of Ramadan, inshallah. In Ahsan al-Hadith, Kitab Allah al-Aziz, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wal-Asr, inna l-insana lafi khusr, illa al-lazina amanu wa amil al-salihat, wa tawasu bil-haqq, wa tawasu bil-sabr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العتوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبا سيد المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة عما سلف من ذنوبكم. I'd like to just continue with this process of, you know, giving and the issue of charity. Sometimes we see, you know, on an individual basis, it's a different thing. But when it comes to the issue of organizations or welfare centers, sometimes in this field of charity, people have this complaint. And they say, oh, there is a lot of bureaucracy, questions are asked. Or maybe sometimes, you know, paperwork has to be filled. And this is where, you know, we realize that, you know, we have to make that process easy, but we cannot be blind to the reality that some people take wrong advantage of the situation and the system. You know, whether it's the government system or it is, you know, charity organizations. And therefore, we cannot ignore that, especially if it's not an individual case where you are giving your own, you know, money or resources, if you are doing it on behalf of the community, then you are Amin. You are the trustee. And you have to, you know, do due diligence in giving the people who are truly, deserving. Of course, we know that when it comes to the issue of charity, it is better to err in giving than to make a mistake in depriving. That's a given. But you cannot ignore the reality that, you know, there are processes which has to be done as far as due diligence is concerned. But when it comes to the act of giving itself, this is something I would like to, you know, and I've talked about it before, that when we talk about giving in charity, one of the important things is that the way it's given is more important than how much you are giving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at the quantity. He looks at the quality of charity. In a sense, what is your motivation? What is the need? And when you're giving, you know, is the recipient feeling humiliated or hurt by that process? Or is it being given in a way that you maintain the respect and dignity of that person? And this is something more important in Quran than the actual amount. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about giving, but he emphasizes this point of be careful how you give. I've used this term before that, you know, when we study in our religious classes, when we do, when we learn the rules of wudu, we are told, if you do this, your wudu is batil. Or in prayers, if you do this and that, your prayers will become batil. In the month of Ramadan, when you are fasting, if you do this and that, your fasting will be batil. But unfortunately, we are never told this word, this term doesn't come when we talk about giving in charity. There is a possibility that the sadaqah, the charity that you're giving, that can also become batil. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually uses that term. In Surah Baqarah, ayat number 264, this is towards the end of the surah, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْتِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْعَضَىٰ. All you who believe, do not make batil, do not make your sadaqat, your charity, null and void. By what? By giving it in such a way that the person is receiving it, but he feels very much humiliated. Wal'aba, or giving it in a way that he feels hurt. You know, and this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I don't want charity of that kind. كَالَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ رِيَاءَ النَّاسِ. Number one, he says, you know, it's like a person who is giving in charity from his wealth to show off to the people. So the motivation is not in the right place. وَلَا يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and does not even believe in Allah and the hereafter. His example is the example, the charity that he's giving is like, you know, you're trying to plant a put the seed in the soil, which is very thin layer, on a hard rock. Water comes, and even the seed is gone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this kind of charity doesn't have any result as far as hereafter is concerned. And this is where we have to realize that, yes, giving charity is very important, but also the akhlaq of how you give charity is even more important than that. And so we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in the holy month, which is coming now, you know, the sense of charity comes in more, inshallah. And let us also maintain the issue of having the right niyyat when we are giving, and even the method. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, likes to see that more than anything else. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه. وعلى سيدة النساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها. وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان. ما حيا صار البدو والطغيان هادم يا أبنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فرو البغي والشقاق. صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام. اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى. إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.